Hi there, Craig Wilkinson. Great to be with you. Another episode of Dangerous But Good. Spring has sprung. Beautiful feeling in the air. We're still hopeful for the GNU to bring a spring to our nation, but good to be with you. I'm going to be talking about a very crucial topic today. I did an entire episode on love, and love is just one of the crucial things that makes the world a beautiful place, and the lack of it makes it a bad place. The other side of the coin is truth, and truth is something that's so crucial to our liberty, to our life, to our existence. Truth is just absolutely vital. Someone once said, you know, there's a scripture that says, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. And freedom does come from knowing the truth. Someone also wisely quipped and said, you'll know the truth. It might set you free, but it's going to piss you off first. And I think we need to be very aware of that. The truth is not always easy. It's not always nice. It's not always comfortable, but it's absolutely crucial. Many people are saying we live in the post-truth era. They say this is the information age, but many people are saying it's actually the age of disinformation. Truth has become very difficult to find. You can pretty much find anything that agrees with what you want the truth to be. I remember years ago, my son, many, many years ago, he was so excited. He came across this article and he said, Dad, look, they've discovered this dinosaur DNA and they're actually able to create a dinosaur out of this DNA. And it was an article that had been posted and he believed it and I got excited. And then this was in early days of fake news. And we realized after a while that this was fake news. And it's fascinating how easily fake news spreads and how people believe it. Because why? They want to believe it. We're living in an age where ideology often trumps the truth. Opinion trumps the truth. Where algorithms determine or feed to us what we want to hear. We live in echo chambers. There's a beautiful quote I want to read here. It says, by Diderot, it says, we swallow greedily any lie that flatters us, but we sip only little by little a truth we find bitter. And isn't that a profound statement? Because we like to hear the things that make us feel good. We like to hear the things and the people and the shows that agree with us. And so we're living in this world where we're in echo chambers. We exist and we make sure we stay in a place where everything we listen to, people we hang out with, the podcasts we listen to, the books we read are things that agree with us. We have this incredible tendency towards confirmation bias. And let's be honest, social media, Facebook, all of these platforms just feed into that. Facebook knows what you like looking at. Social media knows what you like Googling. You know, the truth that you receive when you Google depends on your Google history, depends on the articles you read. So we more and more and more get affirmed in our beliefs and often our misconceptions. And it's a crazy thing, and it's a dangerous thing because it can absolutely lead us down the wrong path. I have friends, I think we all do, who are conspiracy theorists. We might call them loonies, you know. Let's be honest, some conspiracy theories may well be true. But you start Googling conspiracy theorists, and man, you go down a rabbit's hole. You know, you read one, and then it takes you to the next, and to the next, and to the next, and pretty soon you're living in a world of conspiracy theorists where you start becoming, you start believing some crazy things. The search for truth needs to be something that you and I take very seriously because it's very hard to find, very hard to find. We need to search for truth. We need to fight for truth. Many people, and I'd say in most of us, are academically a little lazy. We don't delve into things. You know, we throw around terms like the patriarchy or neo this or neo that, and you know, all these big terms, thinking we know and understand what they mean, but do we really? Have we really deeply gone into what these things mean and really analyzed what the truth is? I was chatting to some young guys the other day, and one of the guys, lovely young guys, one of the guys said, you know, my generation hates history. They find it very boring. And I actually felt a bit of a chill in my soul, because to the extent that we hate history and to the extent we ignore history, that's the extent we won't learn from the lessons of history. And if we don't learn from the lessons of history, what do? We repeat history. We repeat it. We have to examine history, the truth about history. And even that's tricky because history is named his story. It's told often by the victors. And it's written in a way that makes the people who are writing it look good. So even in history, we've got to delve deep and say, well, what actually happened? What is the truth? But unless we do that, we're destined to repeat the mistakes of the past. And let's be honest, the history of mankind is brutal. It's brutal, man. It's filled with wars, hatred, polarization, bitterness. And unless we learn from those things, we're going to repeat it. I believe that the greatest threat, you know, we talk about artificial intelligence, and one of the fears is that we have, you know, robots are going to rise up and attack us. I don't think that's the biggest threat of AI. I think the biggest threat of artificial intelligence is the ability to disseminate mass disinformation, half-truths, lies, false ideologies under the guise of being compassionate in such a way that the whole world gets duped. You see, Voltaire said something profound many years ago, the philosopher. He said, to the extent that you can get people to believe absurdities, you can get people to commit atrocities. What a profound statement. Every single dictator in the history of mankind who has committed atrocities has based them on perpetuating absurdities. Think of Hitler. Hitler perpetuated the lie that Jewish people are evil and we need to eradicate them from the world. I mean, it's an absolute absurd lie. He used that to commit the atrocity of genocide. You think of apartheid. The apartheid was based on an absurdity that the color of a man's skin determines his inherent value and capacity and ability. It's an utter, utter absurdity. It's a ludicrous, anti-science, ridiculous absurdity. And based on that absurdity, which was perpetuated, atrocities were committed. People were dehumanized, and we know the history of that. If you look at what's happening today in society, an absurdity that's propagated is that a prepubescent child can choose their gender. It's an absurdity. And the atrocity that's committed on the basis of that absurdity is life-altering, unalterable surgery and puberty blockers that affects that child for the rest of their life. It affects their reproductive ability and capacity and rights. You see, when we perpetuate absurdities and get people to believe them, we can pretty much do anything. We can get people to do anything. Jim Crow in the United States was based again on the absurdity that black people and white people were somehow different inherently. You know, a physical trait, a very superficial physical trait, such as the color of your pigment, had anything to do whatsoever with your morality and your value and your ability and your capacity. It's an absurdity. But based on that absurdity, there were laws put in place. So we have to be very careful. That's history, and history can repeat itself if we allow absurdities to be propagated and perpetuated. Now, it's very interesting, us as human beings, because we like to hear what we like to hear. Martin Luther King said a powerful thing. He says, you know, there comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe nor politically correct nor popular, but he must take it because conscience tells him it is right. You and I, as people, as men and women, as human beings in this post-truth era, in this age of disinformation, need to be truth warriors. We need to be able to pursue and find and seek the truth academically, not lazy, processing things, listening to opinions that don't agree with us, talking to people who we may dislike intensely because they're saying things we don't want to hear, but just maybe there's some truth in what they're saying. You see, a great man and a great woman, and I've said this before, is someone who's able to find the truth in their enemies and find the error in their own brothers and sisters. We need to be able to do that. We need to be able to find truth wherever truth may be found. And it may well be found in a group of people that you don't necessarily agree with. And we need to be able to find the error. You know, every now and again, we need to look at our own tribe. And when I say tribe, I'm not talking about ethnicity. I'm talking about the particular groups. And there are many intersecting groups. They are religion. They are culture. They are nationality. They are, political orientation, all these different things. We need to be able to look at our tribe, whatever that tribe might be, and examine them and say, maybe what our tribe's doing, what our tribe is saying is actually not correct. It's actually destructive. And it takes a brave person to do that, because very often we look to our tribe for our identity. We look to our tribe for our sense of validity, our sense of legitimacy. Now, that tribe's messing up. We don't want to see it. We don't want to see it because it affects us. But if our identity and our validity and our legitimacy is found in our humanity And that's really the only place we can find it. We're able to discern lies and call them out wherever they may be found. And we're able to discern and seek out truth wherever it may be found. This is absolutely a quest we need to go on, because lies enslave. False ideologies destroy. Truth sets free. Truth liberates, even if it does piss us off. So we need to become people who are brave enough to seek the truth and find it. And then the next challenge is, once we've found it, are we able to speak it? We're living in a culture where cancel culture is absolutely rampant. You know, the challenge with cancel culture is it silences the moral majority. It silences the sensible middle. The extremists talk and they polarize. But us in the middle, who actually are sensible human beings who want to speak the truth, are scared to do that, because you can be canceled by either one of the extremes. Cancel culture is unbelievably toxic. Virtue signaling is unbelievably toxic. You see, a person who's truly virtuous does not need to signal that. I don't need to go on social media and say, hey, look how great I am if I'm virtuous. My virtue is displayed in the things that I do on a day-to-day basis, the people that I love, that I care for, that I nurture, the graciousness that I display. How good am I as a father, as a husband, as a partner, as a citizen? That's what my virtue is. It's got nothing to do with the messages that I put out on social media. So we need to become people who are absolutely immune to the need to have likes, immune to the need to be popular, immune to the need to be woke and politically correct, because that can lead us to error and mistruths and falsities and lies. And to the extent that the sensible moral middle does not stand up to the extremes, that's the extent to which we as a society are in danger of falling into all kinds of falsities, absurdities, which can lead to atrocities. So the need for us to become truth warriors is absolutely essential. George Orwell said, and again, this is chilling, he said, the further a society drifts from truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. How profound is that? How profound is that? We've had people speaking the truth that get cancelled, and then other people who want to speak the truth are scared to do that. So this is a war. It's a war. It's a quest. It's a need for us as reasonable citizens of the world, people who love people, people who believe in human first, people who want to create a prosperous and a safe future. It's incumbent upon us to become warriors for truth, seekers of truth, speakers of truth. A Nigerian author and politician and statesman, Dr. Chuba Okadigbo, I hope I pronounced that correctly, he says, if you are emotionally attached to your tribe, religion, or political leaning, to the extent that truth and justice become secondary considerations, your education and exposure is useless. If you cannot reason beyond petty sentiments, you are a liability. How profound is that? One of our great African leaders. How profound is that? We've got to make truth and reality our friend. And you know what's interesting? We often hear this trope, my truth. Let me tell you something. There's no such thing as my truth. There is my experience. There is my opinion. And that's valid and real. But my truth is only the truth if it aligns with the truth. You see, truth is absolute. You cannot have two opposing truths. One of them or both of them are not true. You cannot have opposing truths. You can have mystery where we actually don't understand. You can have nuances. You can have shades. But you cannot have two opposing truths. Let me give an example. A friend of mine years ago went on a trip to Australia, and he booked into a hotel. He stayed at this hotel in a place called King's Cross, which is one of the more dodgy areas of Sydney. And he was walking down the street and he got mugged. He got held up and he got mugged. And he actually called his trip short. He was so affected by this mugging. Now, he came back to South Africa, and his truth, and I say that, you know, very loosely, his reality, his experience was that Australia is a dangerous place. Now, the actual truth is that Australia is one of the safest places in the world. What happened to him was an anomaly. It was an event that was just not usual. Now, if he came back with the belief that Australia is dangerous, a total false belief. It was his reality. And we need to acknowledge that and respect that and take seriously his truth, because it was a traumatic experience. But it's not the truth. It's not the truth. You know, years ago, we had a terrible incident. My wife and I and our children were driving in a car. We stopped at night. a guy who appeared to be a beggar. This was when I came up to the side of the car and shot through the window, hit my wife in the face. Bullet went right through her face, took out two teeth. Absolutely traumatic. Blood pouring out. We rushed to the hospital. Fortunately, she survived, and the bone graft on the hip, she was, her face was restored. Now, that was a traumatic, horrible experience. The guy who shot through the window was a black guy. Now, if I believed that, based on that thing, that black people are dangerous or black people are violent, it's simply not the truth. See, the person who did that was a broken, damaged human being who had a gun in his hand. I cannot generalize that truth. I had a very close colleague and friend, Cesar Molibatsi, and he tells the story with such passion. He says, Cesar is missing one leg. He walks with a limp. And many years ago, Caesar's much older than myself, he was, as a young boy in a rural area, cycling along the road, and a vehicle came and knocked him off his bicycle. And this was deep in the apartheid era. And the guy got out of the car, saw him, and actually put a blanket over him and left him for dead on the side of the road. Tragic story. Another vehicle came past, saw Caesar lying on the side of the road with his blanket over him, stopped the car, picked him up, put him in the back of his vehicle, and drove him to a rural hospital. And this guy stayed with Caesar the entire night because Caesar was torn between life and death. Caesar survived the night because of the care of this guy and the doctor at that rural clinic. And Caesar tells a story. He says, you know, the guy who knocked him over in the bucky and left him for dead was a white Afrikaans man, evil man, dreadful human being. The guy who picked him up and took him to the hospital was a white Afrikaans male. The doctor that stayed with him the entire night and nursed him back to health was a white Afrikaans male. And he learned from that. He said, you know, I can never say they all are. Someone powerfully said, I think it was Solzhenitsyn, he said, the line between good and evil runs through the heart of every man and every woman. And you can extend that to say it runs through the heart of every culture, every religion, every ethnic group, every nationality. You see, every human being has the capacity for good and evil. Every human being. It doesn't belong to a particular group, a particular culture. It doesn't. Every human being has this capacity. And we as human beings need to seek the truth. We need to be able to love every human being and judge them purely on the basis of their actions, of their values, of how they pitch up for life. We need to get away from this divisive approach that the world has really adopted now. I mean, it's very divisive, very polarized, that group are this and this group are that. And that we need to work away from that. We need to seek the truth. And the truth is found all over the place, as are lies. Malcolm X said, I'm for the truth, no matter who tells it. I'm for justice, no matter who is for or against. I'm a human being, first and foremost. And as such, I'm for whoever and whatever benefits humanity as a whole. Isn't that profound? He was an activist in the United States. You may know Malcolm X's story. Someone else said there, and again talking about the US, because the US has become very polarized, that said, let us not seek the Republican answer or the Democratic answer, but the right answer. And that's all we need to be committed to, not our tribe, not our group, but to what the truth is, because only then can we truly live. George Orwell said, free speech is my right to say what you don't want to hear. And conversely, it's your right to say what I don't want to hear. Who is it that said that, I cannot stand what you're saying, I hate what you're saying, but I'll defend with my life your right to say it. We need to be such a person, such a people, who looks way beyond superficialities, way beyond religion, culture, background, ethnicity. We need to look way beyond that and look at the heart of humanity, because the heart of humanity is beautiful. The heart of humanity strives for love. It strives for unity. It strives to build a safe and prosperous world. And to the extent that people divide us and to the extent that lies are perpetuated, that breaks down and we begin to fight each other instead of love each other. Love and truth are two sides of the same coin. Love without truth can be wishy-washy. Truth without love can be harsh and graceless. We need both. A family that's dealing with a drug-addicted family member needs to apply tough love. They need to love that person, but they also need to be honest with that person, truthful with that person. We need to be able to call out those in our midst. Those are our brothers and sisters, mothers, fathers. Call them out. when they're false. As a man, if I see a fellow man being sexist and making comments about a woman that are demeaning, as a man, I need to call that man out, man. I can't justify him because I'm a man and he's a man. He's wrong, regardless of the fact that he's a man. He's a brother, but he's wrong, and I need to call that out. I need to be able to see the truth where the truth may be found. I need to call that truth out. I need to honor that truth. I need to walk in that truth. Because only when you and I walk in love and truth will we destroy the forces that are rallied against society and the world and peace and harmony and everything that God made us to be. So I encourage you, become a truth warrior. Seek it, speak it, be bold, be strong, be courageous. Remember, the majority of people on this earth want what's right and good. Let's not be scared. Let's not fear being canceled. Let's stand up and be truthful and honest and live right. Thank you for joining me. Dangerous but good. Be that person who's dangerous but good, who makes the world a better place.